Welcome back to Equal Time. I'm Carl Ettinger. We're going to shift gears a little bit and still be talking about local food, but in a different way. High Mowing Organic Seeds in Hardwick is going to be the starting off point for our conversation. Tom Stearns, the president, is going to be joining us. I owe it to you, listeners, to let you know my interests in our topics. With the previous subject of meat inspections, I just had the same interests that all Vermonters have in strengthening local agriculture. I want you to know with High Mowing Organic Seeds, I like them so much, I invested in them. So if you want to ask a question from a perspective of somebody who's not literally invested in the company, give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Carl. Glad to be here.
So, Tom Stearns, kitchen gardens are up in the U.S. estimated 19% this year over last year, and then last year they were up 10% after over and above the year before. So it seems like a pretty good time to be in the seed business. How is it looking up there?
Well, it's looking good, and there's a lot of businesses right now, of course, that are struggling. So it's certainly with attention to that I talk with enthusiasm about our sales and how it's going. But you know, it's a good time to be providing seeds to people. I think both the home gardeners, like the quotes that you just gave of how many more home gardeners there are getting on board, and also how many people are expanding their home gardens. We're seeing so many people that are going from a 10 by 10 or a 10 by 20 plot up to a 40 by 40 plot, or you know, two or three or four times as much as they did before.
Well, that's the nice thing about gardening is that once you get the skills to do a 10 by 10 plot, then it's more time to do a bigger plot, but it's not a big learning curve.
No, it's not. You're right. And I think people who have gardened for a few years at least have a good sense of what they're good at and what they like to use and what they like to have and you know, what they appreciate about it. So they know what else they can be planting.
Hmm. So tell us about High Mowing Organic Seeds as a company. You've got organic in the name. That's important to it. And you sell seeds you grow both in Vermont and ones that you buy from elsewhere, right?
Yeah. So, firstly, most seed companies that send out catalogs to us and get them in our mailboxes in January and things like that, like most of your listeners, I'm sure, do, those companies don't actually grow any seed. Of the 350 retail seed companies in the United States, better than 300 of them aren't involved in seed production at all. Those that are involved in seed production are usually very small hobby seed companies. So we as a company are different in many different ways. Being organic, of course, is one, but the fact that we grow a large amount of our seed and work directly with a group of farmers that produce the rest of it for us is something that really makes us very distinct in the market. There isn't another company quite like us. And just like people shop at a farmer's market because they want to know where their food comes from and they want to meet the farmer and see their face, I think that's why people are supporting us, among other reasons. They appreciate knowing where it's coming from and that there's integrity behind it and that we know for a fact that there's integrity behind it. We're not buying these seeds sight unseen. So we work with growers both here in Vermont as well as our own production and growers across the country. And recently there have been some European seed growers that have been producing seed for that market that have begun to look for partners here in the United States to see if some of their varieties would work well here to serve the organic market here. So they've been seeking us out as a leader in this country to make those kinds of partnerships and alliances, and we've been looking at a lot of the different material from them, and when it fits well for our folks, we've been offering it to people.
And how many other companies are there in the country that specialize in organic seeds?
There is one other company that's a national company, meaning as opposed to a very small local or regional company, a national company that sells 100% organic seeds. There are several very small seed companies that sell just in their state or community that have 100% organic seeds, but those are companies that are, in most cases, you know, $50,000 of sales or below. And then the other difference is that we offer bulk seed to commercial growers as well as to home gardeners. So that's another thing that makes us a little bit different than many of the other organic companies out there. Some of the most popular seed companies that have been around for a long time are adding organic seed to their product line. Sometimes they'll be carrying a really popular bean or a variety like that that they'll continue to sell it conventionally, but then they'll also have it available organically. And in about 30 of those companies, they get their organic seed that they're offering actually from us.
Mm.
So we wholesale seed to other seed companies as well as through our own catalog.
Mm. And you were talking about a number of hobby scale seed companies. It wasn't all that long ago that this was your hobby, right?
It wasn't. For me, you know, this in 1996 is when I started selling seeds, actually the fall of 95. And I was 19 years old, and my hobby grew during the late 90s, and I visited a number of other seed companies, Fedco and Johnny's over in Maine, among others, learned about how I wanted to do this, and in 2000, hired my first employee, and we've grown up to about 30 people now, and you know, one of the leading organic seed producers and distributors in the country, and I'm really proud of my team here that makes it all possible.
Hmm. Well, one of the interesting things that I find about Highmore Organic Seeds is that as one of the two specialized, you know, large-scale organic seed companies in the country, you find yourself at the table in some fascinating conversations about the future of organic seed production. And you want to tell us about you know, what you've seen traveling around the country in the last couple months?
Sure. You know, I started Highmowing. I mean, I like seeds as much as anything else, really, but they are a tool more than anything for me. And the whole purpose of starting Highmowing for me was to help inspire the rebuilding of locally based food systems, first here in Vermont and then beyond. And seeds are the tool and the messenger of that vision. So both because of this mission that our company is instilled with, as well as the actual product and the seeds that we're putting out, we are really fortunate to be invited to participate in different meetings, to give speeches or lectures or workshops at different events all over the country. And it's, like you said, has given us a seat at the table to be involved in guiding this healthier food system that more and more people are realizing is important. So I was just down in Georgia at the Georgia Organics Conference. Michael Pollan was the keynote speaker there.
Pollan, the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma and In Defense of Food.
Yeah, exactly. And so I gave four different workshops there over the course of a few days to some slow food leaders as well as to the participants in the conference. And in fact, one of the workshops I gave was all about the Hardwick model of creating a local healthy food system where many business owners, farmers, community members, educators, nonprofits have all convened and are working together up here in Hardwick to really come up with a complex model for helping create a healthy food system here in our town. So I had dinner with Michael Pollan, and I'd met him before when he came to Vermont, but he was just thrilled to hear more about what was happening up here, and he had been following the news as well. And the, you know, the president of Slow Food USA, whose name is Josh, when I saw him and he saw my name tag, he just stood back and he said, and he like held his hands together in a prayer symbol and said, "You guys in Hardwick are my hero."
Oh boy.
And so there's this new thing happening around the country. Farmers aren't necessarily being perceived as, you know, dumb hicks all the time. It seems that there's a shift happening, and they're getting into rock star status.
Is that happening in Georgia as well?
Oh yeah. It is. It's not as much as it is here in the Northeast. Mm. I think where some of these trends have been going on a little bit longer here, they're a little bit more at the beginning stage of their food system getting healthier down that way.
Did you find things that we could learn from down in Georgia?
Yeah, I did. And you know, when you see something at a different stage than where your own community is at, it helps you remember. And one thing that I saw down there is that they're just at the beginning stages of collaborating with each other. I mean, in a big way. They've been doing it, of course, for a long time, but to really very ambitiously and boldly figure some of these things out, they're just at the beginning stages of it. And it just reminded me of how valuable collaboration is, that we've got a lot of issues to face, and I know energy is something you talk about quite a lot on this show and believe in a lot. Agriculture and the food system is the biggest user of energy. So addressing energy, water, all these other issues that are huge, agriculture and the food system is a really key way to do it. So that helped remind me that working with every possible grower, organization, school, member of the community, all have valuable perspectives in it, and we shouldn't be closing our door to those with different ideas.
So when you say they were just starting to collaborate, you're talking about farmers with each other, farmers with other members of the community? Who are you talking about?
Yeah, both. That Vermont has had so many agriculturally based nonprofits. NOFA is a great example, Shelburne Farms, the Intervale, that have been around for decades. They don't have that as much down there. They're newer organizations. Almost all of them are less than 10 years old. Also here, we have some kind of some anchor farmers that have been producing organic milk or vegetables or meat for 20, 30 years. And that also is something that's different down there. There are many farms that are getting into it, but it's new. So, for example, in all of Georgia, which is a much bigger state than Vermont, in all of Georgia, there are only 49 certified organic farms. In Vermont, we have 600.
Wow.
So quite a big difference. And that's just one measure, but quite a big difference.
We're talking with Tom Stearns. He's the president of High Mowing Organic Seeds in Hardwick. If you'd like to join the conversation, the local number is 244-1777. Toll free, it's 877-291-8255. Well, Tom, one issue that's gotten a fair amount of attention in previous years in Vermont is that of contamination of organic seeds and organic crops with genetically modified organisms. What's the latest status of that issue nationally?
Well, there, as far as I know, there hasn't been any contamination that's actually happened, but there's been, at least with the seed industry side of things, but there's been a lot of concern about it, about how can GMO crops and organic crops exist side by side and what the different challenges are with that. And on a national level, there's been various lawsuits primarily regarding the U.S. Department of Ag and a branch of that called APHIS, which inspects and allows new plants and new animals to be released and commercialized whenever there's a new technology. So APHIS is responsible for saying, yes, Roundup Ready corn is okay to commercialize. Yes, you know, Liberty Link corn is okay to commercialize. And I am involved in a lawsuit against the USDA right now on genetically modified sugar beets. This is a crop that is the same species as regular table beets and Swiss chard, so it freely crosses with it even within 2 to 3 miles because it's wind pollinated.
So 2 to 3 miles it can freely cross.
Oh yeah,
that's a ways.
It is a ways. And again, when you're growing chard or beets in your own garden, they're not going to flower because they do that in the second year. You need to leave them in. They would need to survive the winter, which they don't usually do around here. So it's not a local concern, but it's a seed production concern. For example, sugar beet seed is produced in the Willamette Valley, and that's in Oregon. And this is the same area where regular beets and chard seed is produced.
Mm.
One of the best places in the world for producing this species.
Does high mowing seeds get seeds for regular
absolutely.
Beets and chard from there? Okay.
We sure do. And one of our growers had concern that there was a sugar beet field planted too near to him. And it turned out that it was genetically engineered sugar beets, and nobody was talking about it. It had moved in, the industry had moved into the area without announcing to the rest of the seed growers there that this is what they were doing. And there's procedures in place for this, in seed-producing regions where you all get together with a map of the county and you put pins on the map, and it's actually called pinning maps, where you designate where you're growing what so that everybody is isolated from each other.
Is that required, or is that just something people do as they collaborate?
Well, that's required. And there are some really small growers that might fall below the radar on that, but you know, I would say 95% of the fields out there that are producing seed, both organically and conventionally, are pinned on that map.
Mm.
So we joined this lawsuit, which basically says to the USDA that you did not sufficiently investigate the implications of commercializing genetically engineered sugar beets, that there are big environmental concerns, there are other big economic and health concerns, and that you need to go back and do a full environmental impact study rather than just a simple little environmental assessment. And so we're in that battle right now, and we'll see what happens.
What else have you learned on the road recently?
Well, after I was in Georgia for 4 days, I went down to Florida, and a group down there called Florida Organic Growers, which is kind of equivalent to a NOFA up here, the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Vermont, they hired me to help them organize and think about their own local food system. What were the pieces they had in place? What were the assets and skills that they had in their community and the infrastructure? And what were the things they were missing? And what were the weaknesses or the unique challenges of doing this in that region of the country? And I'm fortunate to be able to be the storyteller of Hardwick area and what we've done here. And, you know, I'm on the board of NOFA. I'm on the board of the Center for an Agricultural Economy. I'm involved in Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, Vermont Berry and Vegetable Growers Association. Oh, boy. A couple of other organizations that keep me busy. And through all of that, I'm lucky to have gotten educated by the best in Vermont on how things work. And so I was sharing that with those guys down in Florida. And they've got so many interesting resources that we don't have up here and so many interesting challenges.
They have year-round sun, for one thing.
They got a year-round sun. They've got a, you know, Gainesville, which is where I was, is a university town. It's about three times the size of Burlington. But it has a similar flavor to it in the fact that, you know, university dominates a lot of the town and is involved in many, many things and brings a good, fresh group of students there all the time. So it's a dynamic, young-feeling small city. But in Vermont, besides Burlington, we don't really have any cities. And Burlington is the tiniest little city for most people. So we don't have this huge urban challenge that I think they've got down there.
So the challenge is that the people in the urban areas are further away from where the food's produced?
Yeah, they're further away from it. And I guess down there, the other thing that was quite interesting is the history of agriculture in the South is not of subsistence agriculture. For hundreds of years, they've been growing for export markets.
Cotton
they've
and
exported
tobacco.
Sugar cane and yep. cotton and peanuts to the north or to other countries. And that's been hundreds and hundreds of years. And obviously, it was based entirely on slavery. So it was unsustainable, unethical from the beginning. And here in the Northeast, we haven't really been exporting too much for very long. So they've got a unique cultural challenge down there of never really having built up a huge amount of the infrastructure needed to supply themselves with food.
Very interesting. Well, we're about out of time here, but can you just very quickly say they've got a year-round growing season, or practically so, down there. We have a longer tradition of growing for ourselves. Who's in a better shape to feed themselves tomorrow if need be?
We're already in Vermont feeding ourselves a much higher percentage than they are down there. And I think that we've got many of the pieces, both financially and land and infrastructure, sort of in place on the ground already to do it. But they're not far behind, and many people across the country are getting inspired by the work we do here in Vermont. And, you know, inspiration is all they need to kick it into gear and begin doing a lot of this work in their own community.
Tom Stearns, president of High Mowing Seeds in Hardwick, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to do it. Thanks, Carl.
Goodbye. Well, we've heard today that the private sector is working, growing the local economy. High Mowing Organic Seeds and many other companies in the Hardwick area, they're doing their great work. And demand is there for food, seeds, and other agricultural products. At the same time, Jim Douglas wants to cut funding for Vermont's meat inspectors and dairy inspectors, which would slam small farmers, slaughterhouses, meat processing facilities. It would reduce the amount of federal money coming to Vermont. Will the legislature find a way to keep these positions? Watch and see. But don't just watch and see. Call your representatives. Call your senators. Let them know how important these inspectors are. Call the governor at 828-3333. I'm Carl Etnayer. That's it for today's Equal Time. Travin's in tomorrow. I'll be in for Anthony Polina on Wednesday. He'll be back on Thursday. Don't forget to check equaltimeradio.com for podcasts. Artie Levine produced today's show. Stay tuned for music with Jack Donovan. Thanks for tuning in.